you're the executive director of the North Carolina Values Coalition, correct?
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about the North Carolina Values Coalition, what you guys are all about?
Well, the North Carolina Values Coalition exists to promote faith, family, and freedom in the public square. And we are the group that led the effort to get the North Carolina Marriage Amendment passed last May. And so we lobby on issues before the General Assembly, and we contact our vast grassroots network about issues that impact families.
Okay, great. Who does the Values Coalition entail? Like, who? What are the different groups involved?
Well, it's actually a group comprised of voters all over the state. It's a grassroots organization. So while we work with other organizations, our membership is made up of everyday citizens.
Okay, gotcha. What can you tell me about this amicus brief that you guys have filed? Why have you done it, and what is it?
Well, because we led the effort to get the marriage amendment passed last May, and 61% of the voters in North Carolina voted for the marriage amendment, we felt it was important to protect our state constitutional amendment defining marriage. Our Attorney General, Roy Cooper, did not file a brief to defend the laws of the state of North Carolina, so we felt it was important that the Supreme Court heard from someone in the state of North Carolina about the amendment in our state. The two cases coming before the U.S. Supreme Court this spring deal with the definition of marriage. One is California's Marriage Amendment case, and the other one is the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And so those two cases will address the definition of marriage from a state perspective and then from a federal perspective. And some experts believe that these cases could be the deciding opinion on marriage and the ability of government to redefine marriage. We're not sure what the impact will be on North Carolina's amendment yet, but we wanted to ensure that the court heard the North Carolina perspective on its own definition of marriage.
Okay, so the issue, you guys are concerned that perhaps the Supreme Court will go so far as to even legalize gay marriage, perhaps, and that could, you know, nullify the amendment?
It's possible that could be the impact if they were to decide in the favor of those who have challenged the California marriage amendment. Now, the California amendment is different from North Carolina's, and California had legalized domestic partnerships before they passed the marriage amendment, which is not the case in North Carolina. So the facts are different in California. But the brief is just insurance to make sure that the court hears the viewpoint of the voters in North Carolina who clearly voted last spring to support marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
So in this last election, Maryland, Washington, and Maine all voted to allow same-sex marriage. And I'm wondering, you know, you say it's about the voters, but if you had been in one of those states, would you have filed an amicus brief on behalf of them?
Well, that's a hypothetical question because I don't live in any one of those states. I do live in North Carolina, and our organization does support marriage between one man and one woman, and we worked very hard to help get the amendment passed. So that's why we filed the brief. I can't speak from the perspective of someone who might live in one of those three states because I don't.
Also, let's say in Maryland, for instance, where they just legalized marriage, they had a specific part of the law was specific in giving religious institutions the freedom to opt out, so to speak, so that religious institutions would not be forced to wed anybody. Do you have any opposition to something like that in North Carolina, or is it, you know?
Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, that it looks good at first smell, but it doesn't pass the sniff test. Because what happens is that even if a religious exemption is granted for houses of worship, it wouldn't cover, for instance, Christian business owners who couldn't go along with the new definition of marriage. And we've seen a series of federal and state court cases across the country in states that have redefined marriage, challenging the rights of business owners to practice their religion in their business environment. And there are many people in this country, a majority, whose religion tells them that same-sex marriage is wrong. And so for the state to mandate or affirm same-sex marriage, it would have an explosive impact on religious persons who could easily treat all individuals with equal respect and dignity but cannot in good conscience endorse or facilitate same-sex marriage.
And by endorse same-sex marriage, are you referring to like a business giving benefits to like a same-sex couple? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. Or a couple whose children are in public school and they're suddenly for the first time being taught that same-sex marriage is acceptable in public school, as is happening in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and the other states that have same-sex marriage. So in those states, the rights of parents have been overridden, and the parents have been told they have no right to take their kids out of school that day or to have prior notice of such instruction. So it completely takes away the rights of the parents to control the upbringing of their own children.
So I've heard of this, but I have not actually seen any examples of it. So when you talk about them teaching this in schools, what exactly are you referring to?
Well, in Massachusetts, for instance, a second grade child, this is an actual case, a second grader was taught in public school by the teacher. They were read a book called King and King, which is about the a prince who can't find a princess to marry and ends up marrying another prince. And so it's clearly a book to indoctrinate children about the acceptability of same-sex marriage. And so the parents of that child objected, and this became the subject of a federal lawsuit, and the courts in Massachusetts told this couple that they not only had no right to object to such teaching, but they had no right to opt out. They didn't have a right to know about it ahead of time or to take their child out of school, exactly what we were just talking about. So that's an actual case.
Okay. So looking around the country with certain states starting to legalize gay marriage, one could make the assumption that the trend line is moving more towards accepting same-sex marriage. Obviously, that's hypothetical and it's in this state. But if that were to be the case, say the voters voted, in favor of same-sex marriage, would you be against that at that point, or would you be fighting for traditional marriage at that point?
Well, I don't think the fact that three states voted to legalize gay marriage is a trend. You have 34 states who voted not to legalize it, who have voted to uphold the traditional definition of marriage. So if there's a trend line, the trend line is in favor of traditional marriage.
Okay, got you. But these were the most recent ones, so the trend line, I guess, like if you're just looking at northern states anyway, that they're starting to become more accepting, because if we had done this, if we had looked at same-sex marriage 10 years ago, none of those states probably would have voted in favor of same-sex marriage. Would you agree?
I have no idea. You don't have any southern states trying to undo their marriage amendments. Most southern states had already passed marriage amendments before North Carolina did. North Carolina's almost as recent as those three states, and we passed it by 61%. Hardly a close outcome.
Right, right. All right, Tammy, I think those are the questions I had. Is there anything I'm missing about this as far as the amicus brief, as far as like outcomes, and what do you hope the amicus brief accomplishes?
Well, our brief tries to point out to the court that it should not dismantle liberties of conscience and religious freedom by redefining marriage to include same-sex marriage. And so our brief really speaks to the religious freedom issue and the impact that redefining marriage has had in taking away religious freedoms in other states. And so what we've asked the court to do is basically to let the states decide for themselves and not to act too hastily.
What would you say to a same-sex couple that lives here in the state that would feel offended by this amicus brief? What would you say to them as far as, you know, the amendment and this amicus brief, as far as North Carolina being already illegal in North Carolina and then taking this further step, what would you say?
Well, marriage has had a definition for 5,000 years, and you know, this battle to retain that definition of marriage is not personal. It's about protecting marriage, and it's about protecting deeply held religious beliefs of Christians and other faiths throughout this country that marriage is between one man and one woman. So it's not a personal fight. It's about protecting the institution of marriage, which has a definition outside of government.
You are Jen Jones, and what's your title over there at Equality NC?
I'm Communications Director at Equality North Carolina.
And can you tell me a little bit about Equality NC, what you guys are about, what you do?
Absolutely. Equality NC is a statewide organization dedicated to securing the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender North Carolinians. We work in the legislature and also in communities in effectuating those rights, and we were a primary organization who fought Amendment 1 during the May 2012 election, the anti-LGBT marriage ban.
Okay, gotcha. So today we had this North Carolina Values Coalition, which was the group that spearheaded the effort for Amendment 1, getting it passed. They filed an amicus brief with the U.S. Supreme Court. And basically the reason that they give for doing that is that our Attorney General, Roy Cooper, didn't do that. And so they are filing it on his behalf, basically, so that North Carolina can get a voice in there speaking out against gay marriage. So what do you say to that?
Well, absolutely. Marriage is traditionally regulated by the state, but there are obviously constitutional limits on what states may do. And we believe the Supreme Court will find that discrimination against gay and lesbian people, same-gender couples throughout North Carolina and the country, are vulnerable minority groups, and that the Defense of Marriage Act, the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, and Proposition 8, are presumptively unconstitutional, and hope that the Supreme Court will remain on the right side of history by striking them down.
So just speaking with Tammy Fitzgerald, who is the executive director of the Values Coalition, she said that this is about protecting the will of North Carolinians who did vote for the ban for Amendment 1, 61%. Voted against it. Does she have a point there that North Carolinians did speak on this?
Well, like I said, you know, marriage is traditionally regulated by the state, but there are constitutional limits to what the people can say we can do. And there is a fundamental right to marry. Everyone today knows the case of Loving versus Virginia, which struck down a ban on interracial marriage that had been upheld by state. Which is now considered to be, you know, something of the distant past. And it lifted an age-old ban on interracial marriages, much like the Supreme Court could do in March with same-gender marriages. And it concluded that the constitutional right to marry protects an individual's choice of marital partner without any mention of gender. So we believe that all North Carolinians and all Americans have the freedom to marry, including loving, committed, same-sex couples in every region of our state. You know, it wasn't a majority of North Carolinians who voted. It was a majority of the minority of North Carolinians who voted. And every poll we see, every major public opinion poll in this country, and the majority of the American people believe that we should strike down DOMA, that all couples, same-gender couples included, should have the freedom to marry. And, you know, that's a lesson shared by legal precedent, history, as well as our president's own very powerful words just weeks ago during the inauguration. So we're going to stay on the right side of history in the Supreme Court, as we did in Loving, and hopefully strike down discrimination the way Loving versus Virginia did.
All right. So I asked her about the recent gay marriage advocate victories in Maryland, Washington, and Maine, and asked her basically if she had opposition to specifically the one in Maryland, which exempted, I'm not sure if the other ones did, but the one in Maryland specifically exempted churches that were opposed to gay marriage from performing them. And she said that basically, you know, this is something that looks good, but as far as opening the door to lawsuits and things like that, especially among businesses that want to offer benefits to same-sex couples, or rather who don't want to offer benefits to same-sex couples, that that opens the door for them to be legally challenged to do so. What would you say to that?
Well, I mean, we're talking about, with this amicus brief and the court case is obviously in front of the Supreme Court, we're talking about constitutional issues and whether there are equal protections under the law and whether equal truly means equal. Obviously, Equality NC is in support of any law that or any precedent that would help strike down inequality on its face wherever it lives. So the outcome of the Proposition 8 and DOMA cases is likely to affect the lives of gay and lesbian and bisexual Americans for years to come, even if the final dispositions are not sweeping enough to wipe out all state laws currently banning same-sex marriage, i.e., even if it doesn't have an effect on Amendment 1. So whether that drifts down into allowing for LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender workers to be safe in the workplace, or for gay and lesbian parents to be able to truly adopt the love, you know, and love the children that they live with in a loving family, or whether it simply means reinforcing the love and commitment and responsibilities of families all over North Carolina and all over the country. You know, once equal protection actually is equal, it may apply to other areas. That's absolutely true. But in the process, no one's forcing any church to do anything that they don't want to do. So not only is that argument flawed, it flies in the face of a broader argument about what is discrimination in this country, why are we still discriminating against gay and lesbian people, and how this case will be the first linchpin in changing the way we look at gay and lesbian people as a suspect class who deserve that protection, whether it be in housing, the workplace, from bullying in schools, or within the institution of marriage. So no slippery slope there. We're going to get marriage equality at some point. It's just a matter of whether the Supreme Court of the United States chooses to give it to us in March.
Jen, so what would you say, you've seen this argument before, you saw it in North Carolina when Amendment 1 was going on, and around the country, what would you say about the argument that gay marriage opens the door for this same-sex marriage basically to be taught as okay in schools?
I mean, it doesn't really happen. You know, schools and education are about teaching the subjects that we all know and love in our schools. What happens is a broader instruction in society about what it means to be a family and the appreciation of difference. So we don't see that so much in schools, but what is happening in culture is an understanding that no two families look alike. And by striking down the Defense of Marriage Act, and Proposition 8, it's telling people in states like California and same-sex loving couples all across this country that they are a family just like everyone else, and like the majority of Americans want, they have the freedom to marry.
All right, Jen, I think those are the questions I had. Is there anything I'm missing about this story that you want to say?
I read in the WREL report that the amicus brief referenced children. Is that correct? The protection of children or couples being able to have children?
I'm looking at the news release right here. I am not seeing anything about children. Let's see. Looking at that. I'm not seeing anything about children, at least in this news release. The actual amicus brief is not actually what I'm looking at, though.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
There are some cases going forward on second parent adoption from the state of North Carolina, and I wanted to address that if that were the case.
Okay. Well, what would you say to that if that were the case?
Well, you know, we've heard these arguments time and time again that we're not anti-gay. We're just protecting the institution of marriage and how important it is to protect the institution of marriage. So that loving couples can raise children in a household with one man and one woman. And time and time again, you know, all you have to do is talk to a couple who is having trouble having children or who choose not to have children can tell you children don't make a marriage. Loving, committed couples make a marriage. Those were the lessons that we learned from cases like Loving versus Virginia, which struck down interracial marriage bans. And those are also the lessons I think we're going to learn during the Supreme Court cases, where we hear story after story of loving, committed, same-gender couples who simply want to share in the rights and responsibilities of other similarly situated couples throughout the country. And we hope that the Supreme Court comes down on the right side of history and, you know, that the final disposition is enough to start in motion a trend that will help loving couples in North Carolina share those benefits as well.